Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalm, chapter 84. Psalm, chapter 84. And would you stand with me? Out of respect as we read the Word of God. Verse 1 says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set upon pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord of hosts, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Dustin, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we come before you now, so humbled by the love that you extend to us. Pray that we be humbled before your word. You empower us to obey you so we can see more of you through. Lift that brother Doug, pray that you empower him to speak boldly in love and fear. To be able to respond appropriately and honor you with our lives. I pray that we be a light to the community. Just even as we read and say what we're saying, I pray that we would truly show the Father's love to those around us. Please forgive us for where we failed to do that. And help us to, in your grace, just respond to that, to show people the love that you've shown us. Christ, in your
grace. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the beginning of this song, psalm, it says, "To the chief musicians on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah." Now, even though David is not named, most people, or it is commonly thought, that David at least had an influence if he did not write this, even though it's not accredited to him. At minimum, he had an influence. It's believed that this was written during a time when David was in exile from Jerusalem. And he was in exile because of his son Absalom's rebellion, who had illegally taken his throne. And David literally had to run for his life. And now he's in the wilderness. He's at that position where basically he has lost everything. And he has time to reflect and think of the things he's lost. And the one thing that he's lost that comes to mind is worship. Worship in the house of God. Once again, he looks at how he did have it, and now he longs for that day that a short time ago that he enjoyed on a regular basis. But now, he's prevented. Not allowed in Jerusalem, or he can't go back to Jerusalem for fear of being killed. And he remembers that worship, that wonderful worship. And he opens verse 1 with a statement of how lovely. Now imagine this, okay? He's in the wilderness. And the one thing you miss is that time with God, that worship with God. And you can say, well, God's everywhere, and He is. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like corporate worship. You know? And so David's in a barren land, and he's remembering, and he says, how lovely is your tabernacle. The New American Standard says dwelling place. That word lovely, it's interesting. It's translated 8 times in the Bible, and 7 out of those 8 times that it's translated beloved. And so here, this is the one time in the Bible that it's translated lovely. And I really think that David, I know, David is not talking about, boy, I remember what it was like to go into that pretty tabernacle. That's not what he's talking about. Okay? He's approaching it more from that standpoint of the meaning of beloved, dearly, something that was dear to him. And you see his heart, and he says, the one thing that I miss, the one thing that I don't have anymore, I can't go into that corporate worship setting, the dwelling place of God, where I know I'm in the presence of the Creator of this universe. Have you ever been invited to somebody's home and you really, really looked forward to it? You know, I mean, you look forward. Maybe it was some important person or a dignitary, and you look forward to just going in to that person's home and even stand in awe that that person would allow you in your home, in their home, as small a person as you are. Well, that's the way David's looking at this when he says dwelling place. This is the home of God on earth, if you will. And he's viewing it that the Creator, it's amazing that the Creator of this universe would not only grant me admission into his dwelling place, but he invited me to come in. And I used to come in without a thought and enjoy the presence of God in that corporate setting. And I can't do that anymore. As I read this and I prepared for the services tonight, I had to look at myself, and I'm reminded how often I have taken for granted the worship setting. You know? I mean, it's so easy to come to church because you're supposed to. And I know we don't have a tabernacle today, right? But we do have a worship setting. The church is God's appointed way and place of worship. And as I thought about, you know, I thought, man, sometimes I go to church because I'm supposed to, even though I mean nothing by it. But that heart and that mindset of, man, I'm going to the house of God. We're promised that where two or three are gathered together, Jesus is in our midst. And I have an invitation from God Himself to come in and to worship. Yet, sometimes I don't think about that stuff. You know, there are people in the world today who cannot worship like you and I worship. As we look around and we're gathered tonight, and I just, first point is, I just want to remind you as well as myself, let us not take for granted the privilege and the blessing that God has given us of corporate worship. When we can meet like this, there are members of Victory who have moved to other parts of the country who still have their name on the church roll because they cannot find a scriptural church to worship in. But yet, week after week, you and I are blessed with this privilege. There are places in the world today that it is illegal for them to worship. And if they do worship, they have to do it underground. And they hide it. Whereas we turn the lights on, park the cars in the parking lot, and everybody knows why we're here. Let us not take the blessing of worship for granted. No. David was at that point where, I mean, he lost it. And I'll tell you what, we don't know what tomorrow holds, do we? I praise God for the privilege, and I pray we never lose it. Look at, continue at verse 2. He said, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Huh. You know what the best part of this is? Oh, listen, y'all are a blessing every week when we gather like this. I love seeing you. I love shaking your hand. I love asking how you're doing. I love telling you how I'm doing. But the best part of it is, we are in the presence of God. And you know, in the presence of God, there's more than just enjoying a service. There's communion and fellowship with God. I want to tell you, I love the song service. Brother Dale does a wonderful job. I love meeting, but the best part is we're in the presence of God, the creator of this universe. Don't settle for anything less. I want to ask you, what needs do you have in your life tonight? What do you really need? You know? What is there that you're missing? You have the opportunity to bring this need before God, the creator of mankind. What a blessing and a privilege it is. And David, you know, and again, he's looking at it from that standpoint. I can't do this anymore. Man, I miss it. Then in verse 3, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts. You know what David's doing there? No, he can't. And so he looks at the birds that used to build their nest in the tabernacle near the altar that would fly in and out and in and out. You know what? He's envying the birds. Even the birds have it better than I do. They can come in and out of the tabernacle of God. Listen, that's the kind of love we should really have for this setting. And I know, you know, this is the Sunday night crowd. Y'all appreciate it. But, you know, as I was reading this again, I was reminded, boy, sometimes I don't appreciate it as much as I really should. I don't consider it the blessing as much as I really should. Then we go on in verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. They pass from the valley of Baca, and they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Again, this is coming likely from a man who's trapped in the wilderness, hiding for fear of his life. And he says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. You know why he said that? Because his strength was not sufficient any longer. That's why he had to run out of Jerusalem. And no man has ever known what it's like to put his trust, I'm talking his full trust and his confidence entirely upon the strength of the Lord, until he has been weaned from putting all his trust in himself. Sometimes we've got to lose it all before we realize how much we truly have. Amen. Have you ever looked at losing it all as a blessing? If indeed this was influenced by David's exile, you're looking at a man that was a king. The man that had the power to do anything he wanted to do, go anywhere he wanted to go, until now, when he's hiding for his life in the wilderness. And now he knows, apart from God's intervention, he'll never even get back into Jerusalem. Of course, we know how the story ends. Absalom is killed, and David goes back to Jerusalem and sets his kingdom back up. But many of God's people spend years learning that we are nothing and we have nothing except by God, by the grace of God. And sometimes it requires losing what we have before we realize what we did have. You know, I was thinking about this, and I spent years, back when I was an air traffic controller, I spent years learning that I was never wrong. I spent about 10 years of knowing that I was never wrong. Because that's what they taught you to think. You see, you did not have the luxury of being wrong. Lives were at stake. And so when somebody would say, you shouldn't have done that, oh, you just get on, you know. Then I surrendered to preach. And I'm still spending years realizing that I'm never right apart from God. You know? I look back and I thought about it. Boy, you know, I spent so much time trying to be right, and now God had to take all that out of me so that I could realize there is no right apart from God. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you. Blessed is the man whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As he goes through the Valley of Baca. The Valley of Baca was an arid, dry region. And it literally, the word Baca means weeping. So David is at that point where, you know, I mean, he misses it. He's pouring out his heart. No doubt he shed tears because, just first of all, for the love of his son, Absalom. And second, the pain that Absalom has caused him and the pain of being exiled out of Jerusalem has caused him. But you see a man that refuses to give up. As they pass through the valley of weeping, he says, they make a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. You just see the people passing through that dry and arid valley. People with that their hearts are just melting. But yet God brings them to that point of worship in Jerusalem. Then he comes to kind of the summit. As he says in verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah, O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. Another reason we think this is David. He pours out his heart and says in verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Lord, look upon the face of your anointed. This is my heartfelt desire. One day, I'd exchange one day, he says, in your courts for a thousand anywhere else that you'd want to go. Here's a man that knows the value of being in the presence of God. Now, he's not making a deal with God here like we sometimes do, you know. But rather, he is stating a fact. One day in the presence, in the dwelling place of Almighty God is better than anywhere else you could go. It's better than the beach. It's better than the mountains. It's better than a motorcycle ride. It's better than anything, any place that you could think of. One day in the courts of the Lord. Here's a man that appreciates. And that's the design of this message. It is to remind us to appreciate what God has given us at Victory as being a part of a New Testament church. When David says it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness, that position of doorkeeper, it was not a lofty position. As a matter of fact, it was considered the lowest position in sanctuary, in tabernacle service. David, the king that everyone would have bowed to. And he just says, at this point, he says, I'd rather just be a doorkeeper, the lowest position in the dwelling place of God than anything else, anywhere. Than to have all the riches in the world and live in sin against my God. Here's a man that appreciated worship. That's the point of the message tonight. You know what? God's worst is better than the devil's best. God's worst is better than the devil's best. We have the blessing and the freedom to worship, even though there are a lot of people in this world who do not. Let us not take it for granted. Because reality is, I don't know how long we're going to have this freedom. We're living in an age where Jesus is not the popular choice anymore. We're living in an age where calling sin, sin is quickly becoming not only politically wrong, it's quickly growing illegal in some parts of the world, taking a stand upon the Word of God. What we have today is a blessing of God. Let us appreciate it and take advantage of it to the fullest extent that is in our ability. You may be here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you the love of God. The love of God sent Jesus Christ, His Son, to the cross of Calvary to die for your sins. The love of God paid for your sin upon that cross. And the love of God issues an invitation to you. Come unto me, ye who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The love of God calls you to salvation. Will you come tonight? Will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? We're going to have a verse of invitation. And during that invitation, I'm going to ask you to do so. Maybe you're here tonight and there's another spiritual need that's not even been addressed in the message or at this point. But you know, you're in the presence of God and God has stirred that need within you. I ask you, listen to what God tells you to do. If there's a commitment you need to make, if you need to spend time at this altar, if you need to talk to God, whatever your spiritual need is, take advantage of the blessing that God has given you by being here tonight. And do what He leads you to do. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the day. We thank You for Your Word. Truly, Lord, it is good to be in Your house and among Your people. It is good to know that Your presence is in this place. It is good to worship You in spirit and in truth. And I pray that, Lord, we'll respond accordingly, knowing that You are here and that You are working in the lives and hearts of Your people. I pray that we'll have the courage to take our stand for You by answering Your call and Your direction upon our lives. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.